This is John Floridus. Welcome to the Monday Music Special featuring a celebration of the 25th anniversary of Montana Public Radio's Musicians Spotlight, a weekly program featuring music and interviews with the very best artists performing around the world, the nation, and Montana. Tonight's program will highlight some of our favorite guests over the past 25 years. In fact, the music you're listening to right now is by Derek Trucks, who's been a guest on the show. The program was first conceptualized by Michael Marsalek, the current program director of Montana Public Radio, in 1992. In 1997, Brian Copper and I took over production and hosting of the show.
Hi, this is John Floridus. Welcome to Musician Spotlight.
Yep, that would be the 1997 version of your host, the guy who's been the sole host and producer since 2009. In researching the over 650 shows produced for Musicians Spotlight, I came across the very first one hosted by yours truly. In the early summer of 1997, I featured a young singer-songwriter named Susan Gibson, a Texas native who had been performing around Missoula, Montana for a number of years. She had one song in particular that seemed to stand out among a number of excellent songs, and we were determined to feature it on the show. This first ever airing of Wide Open Spaces was the start of Susan Gibson's feature on Musicians Spotlight back in 97. The song would go on to be the title track of the breakout album by the Dixie Chicks, an album that won multiple awards including two Grammys, sold over 14 million copies, and one that routinely makes the list of top country songs of all time. Here's a sample of Susan performing the song live in the MTPR studios, the very first time this historic song was ever aired on radio.
Who doesn't know what I'm talking about? Never left home, who's never struck out to find a dream and a life of their own. Place in the clouds, a foundation of stone. She needs wide open spaces, room to make her big mistakes. She needs
On tonight's Monday Music Special, we're going to be highlighting some of our favorite guests over the past 25 years of Musician Spotlight. We'll get started with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones.
Yeah, there's something on every record that we make that somebody can hate or love, you know. And with three albums worth of music, you got to have something people could really hate a lot and really love a lot.
No middle ground.
No middle ground. Yeah.
Lila Downs.
We tend to go with what's easy for us, I think, as human beings, but I love it when we can push ourselves to learn from one another and learn from our differences, I think, is such an amazing teacher, you know. And for me, maybe because I grew up that way, because I was forced to always relate to different cultural contexts, definitely is important, yeah.
The John Butler Trio.
I could be loud, man, I could be silent. I could be young, man, I could be old. I could be a gentleman.
I relate life to being a garden, you know. You kind of have to water all aspects of your garden to say that you have a successful garden. To have a successful life, I have to obviously water the tomatoes, which is the music. I also have to water, you know, say the lettuce and the corn and the cucumbers and everything else, which is dad, brother, son. If I don't give all my attention to all the different aspects of my garden, I can't really say I have a successful life or a successful garden. What I have is really great tomatoes going off in the corner. My music's going off and everything else is dying and wilting. And soon enough, the weeds from all those other parts of your garden will jump in on the tomatoes and you won't have anything.
Kronos Quartet.
So we were all set to play The Rite of Spring by Stravinsky. And then I was thinking, well, gee, what if they want an encore? And the only thing that came to my mind was Purple Haze. As our concerts became more amplified, it got louder and louder. And now to the point where I bet the way we play it is louder than Hendrix played it.
Sean Colvin.
Well, I've never been really comfortable with writing either. I attempted it pretty late in my career. You know, if you look at the fact that probably people like Lyle, you know, when they were learning to play, were beginning to write. When I was learning to play, you know, and I was playing in earnest, you know, between the ages of 16 and 18. By the time I was 18 years old and 19 years old, I was getting work. But I didn't write. I was scared to death to write. To you.
Matheny. You can have a guy in the front row of a gig and never claps for any tunes. And then that'll be the guy that after the show comes back and says, change my life, man. You don't know. You do your best. You swing for the fences, try to play the good note. And really, other than that, there's not much to say. Mary Chapin Carpenter.
If I get stuck on something, I go grab a dog or two and I go walking and I call it song walking. Whatever phrase or section or something that's giving me trouble, I'll work it out. And in the last few years, I've also instituted the new song biking. And
with the dogs?
No, just
okay.
Me.
She does the car.
You're listening to a Monday music special featuring a celebration of the 25th anniversary of Montana Public Radio's Musicians Spotlight. Next up is B.B. King.
My mother was very religious. She died when I was 9 years old. She wanted me to be a gospel singer, and that's what I wanted to be, a gospel singer, maybe a preacher later. I used to sit on the corners and play my guitar, and people would come by and ask me to do a gospel song. If I did it, they'd thank me, pat me on the head and shoulders, and say, boy, keep it up, you're gonna be all right. But they never put nothing in the hat. People that would ask me to do a blues would always put something in a hat. So that's why you got a blues singer. That's how it started.
David Grisman.
Yeah, well, I've got a theory about improvisation, which is we're talking right now. We don't have a script, and you could call that improvisation. I mean, that's as much improvisation. But basically, I call it all composition. You look at a painting, it doesn't really matter how long it took to do that painting. It's the really important thing is how good is the painting. You know, somebody could do a painting in 3 minutes. Somebody else might take a year. And yet, maybe everybody likes the three-minute painting. Right. The difference is how long it takes to do, which I don't think is that significant relative to the result.
Let's go.
Shelby Lynn.
Every time I pray, I get on bended knee. I ask a man to be patient.
When I write songs, they come from my life. It's not something I made up in my head. You know, it might be a story that I made up, but it came from a real life experience. It's important to me to relate to people on an emotional level because that's all that matters. At the end of the day, the dollars and cents, I mean, that's not going in the casket.
Walking in the steps of the law. My feet don't need to wander no more. I'm walking in the steps of the law. I'm walking in the steps of the law.
Ravi Coltrane.
You know, I grew up my whole life being Ravi, you know what I mean? But as soon as I went to CalArts, where I studied, you know, I suddenly became John Coltrane's son. I'd be in a room with guys wanting to jam, and somebody would say, all right, let's play Resolution, let's play Love Spree. And it's like, well, you know, we could play something else too, you know? So for me, yeah, being his son, it was no big deal. I was just another kid.
Lali.
We've gotten together and through different experiences, like Putafe brought, you know, a couple drum songs in, and we all have our own little stories or experiences, and then we bring this, and then we add our voices, and it's kind of like making a good sauce.
Waves.
Well, the sky was gray and the sea was green, and your eyes were color than ever been seen.
This is the story of Josh wandering along a tropical beach in cowboy boots, tight black jeans, and a long denim coat with a black Fender electric guitar.
I'm glad this is on the radio so listeners can't actually see me blushing.
Yeah, that happened.
I think on one of our earlier CDs, there's a quote from Vicky on one of them about how being in a band is like being in a marriage. And, you know, through the years that you spend together, the relationships get deeper and the bond gets stronger. I'm gonna get on my high horse and fly.
Mark Cohn.
I saw the ghost of Elvis.
It was pretty funny to go to therapy. This was the only time I walked in actually knowing the problem. It's like, you know, everything with therapy can be so mysterious and multi-layered, and I was shot in the head. Of course I need to talk this through. You know, I shouldn't be here now. But in a way, I've never enjoyed performing more since that incident.
They've got catfish on the table. And they got gospel in the air.
We move on in our Monday Music Special 25th Anniversary Celebration of Musicians Spotlight with Daryl Jones of the Rolling Stones.
This has just got to be way too much fun playing with the Rolling Stones.
Oh, man, it's a blast. It's a blast.
I mean, that's like, this has just got to be a blast
for
you.
Oh, it is.
You.
It really is. I mean, you got these guys who are really comfortable in their skin, both personally and musically. And you got fans, man. The fans for the Stones are like no other fans. I mean, it's you go and play in front of a group of people who are really into what you're doing, who have followed and know the lyrics and it's really a great situation to be playing in. I tell people all the time, well, I ain't looking for a day gig.
Cowboy Junkies.
I sort of decided then I had to, you know, get off this fence and jump one way or the other, and decided, yes, I will become part of the band and not just the little sister that was tagging along. And so we went home and wrote Trinity Session, and things changed.
Keb Mo.
Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter. She didn't call me on the phone. Five little words was all she wrote. She said, see you later, I'm gone.
She had what is it about now? What's happening right now? What are you feeling right now? What's going on right now? You know, it's because you don't want to live in the past with your other records. The minute you do anything different, you know, you're going to stir up a little.
Sure.
You know. But I think that's good. Even if you do the same things, like, oh, I did the same thing.
Right.
Oh, I did something different. What difference does it make?
It's yeah. Like, you know? Yeah.
You know, so you just kind of got to just let it rip and have faith. And, you know, those who hear what you're saying, they hear it. If nobody hears it, they don't hear it. But you got to say it, and you got to say it honestly.
The Ellerhane Girls Choir of Estonia.
Oh,
a singer's childhood. Merit will explain. It tells the story of when she was born, yeah. Her mother put her in a manger, and the duck spoke to the child, and that's how the child got all the stories.
From a duck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh? Eden Atwood.
One thing I figured out was, you know, the music is between my ears. It's not in my throat. Even if I can't sometimes do exactly what I might hear first, I will always be able to make music because I'm a musician, and that has to do with my brain. I'd have to have a brain injury to stop being a musician. Just having a throat malady would not stop it.
I wish I was home. I wish I was back with the things I've been knowing. Wind that makes the tall grass bend into leaning. Suddenly the snowflakes that fall have a meaning.
John Oates.
What I want, what you got, and it might be hard to handle. Like a flame that burns a candle, the candle feeds the flame.
The future of Hall & Oates, of what I do with Daryl, is in its past. We have so much music, you know, we don't even get a chance to play it because we have this other really good problem. We have a lot of hits.
Yeah.
So we go out on stage, people expect to hear those hits, and quite rightly so, you know, and we have a professional responsibility to play those hits. It's a place, as you said earlier, it's where any artist would love to be.
Next up in our Monday Music Special 25th Anniversary Celebration of Musicians Spotlight is Eric Johnson and Mike Stern.
What goes on the bus when you guys aren't talking about music?
It's pretty out of control, really. I mean, it gets so bad. I'll go to the back of the bus and have like a Perrier with a lime in it.
No rock star stories.
I have rock star stories, but I can't remember any of them. So you know they were really bad.
Charlie Musselwhite.
I hear you come again with your big wide grin. You want to get me back? Ain't gonna be like that. It's been 3 long years. I done run out of tears. Another woman's in my home. You've been gone too long.
I left Mississippi in 47 and moved to Memphis, which a lot of people claim is part of Mississippi. And I liked all kinds of music. I liked gospel and hillbilly music and rockabilly and rock and roll when it was first getting started there, and blues. And I liked blues the best. It just seemed to describe more accurately how I felt. I didn't really think about being a musician. I just thought it'd be, since it felt so good to listen to it, it must feel really good to play it.
The Sierra Leone Refugee All-Stars.
When I started singing in the refugee camp, I was tapping my feet. I was singing and my wife was, you know, singing along with me. And so I saw that, oh, people find interest in it because people come around. At any time I start to sing, people come around. Mm-hmm. Then I said, oh, this can be something very important for the refugees. So that's how I got the inspiration to look out for musicians and then try to play music for the people. Greta Shade na salo, I dey sing for Larry Harry. Yeah, Larry, do we know?
The country don't change people, salo musician. The Carolina Chocolate Drops.
This group historically, you know, it's like the biggest black string band of all time.
Yeah, I don't know if we could say that we're the biggest black string band in the world.
You already said it.
But it's about getting the music out there, you know, educating people, entertaining people. And it's like if we can keep our eye on that, we're going to be fine.
Cyril Neville.
Guys who became the music in between actual jobs, they would come up with these riffs and they put it out. As they say, the rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, but that group that's called the Meters came out of Art Neville and the Neville Sound.
Gretchen Parlato.
Intensity is different than volume.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there can be a quiet intensity that's just captivating, and it's not about a big show.
It's getting better all the time. I can't help it if I wanted to, wouldn't help it. You find it if I could, I can't help it. If I wanted to, I wouldn't help it. No, can't help it. If I wanted to, wouldn't help it. Even if I could, I can't help it. If I wanted to, wouldn't help it. No, 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 no.
Guy Davis.
Oh, John, I meet so many people on the road who hate their jobs. They hate what they do. And I'm lucky enough to love what I do despite the difficulties of being stuck in airports and weird travel. It's what I know I'm supposed to be doing.
I was wearing my old shoes. Oh, Lord, I got on my new shoes now. I was wearing my old shoes. Well, I got on my new shoes now. Yes, I feel like dancing, I feel like dancing.
We'll be back in just a bit with the second half of our Monday music special celebrating the 25th anniversary of Musicians Spotlight. This is John Floridis. On tonight's Monday Music Special, we're highlighting some of our favorite guests over the past 25 years of Musicians Spotlight, including Alison Krauss.
Forget about it. I'm admitting I was wrong, and I'll just take what's mine and broken right out the door. Forget about it. I'll split and I'll be gone, and you'll have memories you'll find hard to ignore.
because I don't write, I'm always on the prowl for material. And, you know, I find that, you know, if there's lyrics that are great, then we're safe. Because I'm much better at changing a melody or a feel or the chords or whatever to suit us than the other. I don't even want to attempt it, really. What I look for is, you know, just something that I can really relate to. And I just think when you can actually relate to something and understand it, it's just so terribly exciting to think that you'll get to sing it.
Forget about it when you're lying in bed just wishing I was there to lay you down.
Solace.
You know, you come back together and you realize what a great time we had. You know, now I'm ready to grow lupins and read poetry. So I suppose you're sort of catapulted back into all those memories.
I mean, we're a very different band than we were 20 years ago. And, you know, 30 years rolls around, we'll be a very different band, you know. You know, we'll be very different individual musicians. You know, we'll probably lose a step here and there, but hopefully what we sort of gain in experience and maybe being clever will kind of, you know, balance out the step or two that we lose.
Lady Smith, Black Mambazo.
It's about people's love. When we see people in front of us and then we think that people, they left anything that they could have been doing and then they came to see us in concert. So this is a time that we don't think about past and the future. We're just being there with these people. And the music itself, it takes its toll in that. So we are carrying away by the music. So we don't even feel that we are sweating or whatever. You can feel that after time when you go backstage that, oh, I've been maybe straining myself that hard, but it's always enjoyable.
David Maslanka.
Creativity, if it becomes powerful in you, is an upsetting thing. And it burns harder than you would want it to burn or to understand it would burn. I know over the course of my writing that I've had the feeling that I am being used, that a thing is moving through me that is moving through me because it's possible to go through me, but it doesn't really care if I get burned in the process. So there have been times when I felt that I was not going to be able to finish a project because it was so hard to do. It was pushing me so hard.
Jen Adams.
You know, I'm such a storyteller. I just make this stuff up. I really do. I remember sitting out in the front yard, beautiful Montana day, listening to the river and the birds, and God, it was just fabulous. And just, you know, thinking, was I this lucky in a past life? You know, will I be this lucky next time around? You know, and what about the people you meet? And you know, where do they come from? Have you known them before? Is it, you know, it's sort of an essay on what, you know, how many options there are.
What have I just needed you? I needed you to find me.
Lyle Lovett.
Salvation sat across to self, we call the devil partner. Wisdom burns up on the shelf, we kill the rage and cancer. I seal the river at its mouth and take the water prisoner. Fill the skies with screams and cries of faith and fire answer.
I'm still just trying to make up songs that I like and that I feel comfortable standing up and playing in front of people. And so I feel very lucky to have gotten to do the things that I've done in my career, and I hope to be able to continue doing that. I hope to be able to continue, you know, going around and getting to be myself and meet nice folks and play and sing.
Ain't got the time for outside. Keep your injured looks to you. We'll tell the world we try.
All of these lines across my face.
Brandi Carlile.
Tell you the story. Stories where I've been, and I got to where I am.
I think it's therapeutic just to sing loud. Just simply to just unbridled, just open your mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth is what comes out of it, you know? If that note's a little bit sharp or flat, or if your voice cracks or it gets distorted and raspy, whatever happens when you're doing that, it's like, you know, to me, it's like doing yoga or something. It's a sort of meditation.
I climbed across the mountain tops. So am I a child?
Next up in our Monday Music Special 25th Anniversary Celebration of Musicians Spotlight is Grace Potter.
You are the rock on the riverbed. Growing smooth.
Being a badass can be character, but vulnerability and revealing some of your misgivings and some of the mistakes you've made and some of the bruises, I think is a far more compelling thing for the audience. I'm a mess right now. I'm in a good way, but I think it's all really like I've completely pulled my life apart.
Grab the first guitar you see. Get out the old flare gun and throw it to the sky. Tonight you're sleeping next to me. Hey, hey, hey.
Tom Catmull and the Clerics.
You know it always seems to me, no matter when or where you go, you hear the noisy downtown streets of a city with this town in tow. Don't ask me about a thing.
Somebody described being a musician to me as getting up every day and looking for work, you know, which is hilarious, you know, but it's partially true. You know, you wake up and you're like, okay, and you look at your calendar, then you need to fill up that calendar. There's inspiration there in terms of just like, I need to play. Yeah. I need to play, and I need to play with a band and solo or with a duo or wherever.
Never promised it would whisper where to go.
Patty Griffin.
Suka Walker. Round the black eye, bought a candle, it was flaming red, I thought, then I forgot, so I sang the happy song in my head.
So I've been touring this record, and I just sort of went, well, everybody's calling me, you know, a folk singer, which in my mind conjures up, you know, visions of a woman sitting in a field, you know, with daisies all around her, so I don't really think of myself that way, and I just felt kind of, you know, perplexed about
how this was going. And, you know, I just grew up listening to all the rock stuff. And, you know, I was 16, 17, 18 when The Clash, you know, hit America. And loved Led Zeppelin, loved, you know, The Stones and all that stuff growing up. And, it, you know, I really wanted to rock. You know, and I was up there with my guitar rocking, I thought, you know. But it doesn't really come off to a lot of people.
Red shoes, worn my red shoes again. They're getting worn out from all of the wandering.
Darko Buterats.
If you don't get in the way of yourself, you communicate from the stage. You're naked. Your emotions are naked.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if you're not afraid of that, the audience gets it. Why would you go to a concert and sit down in a chair and pay money and not be excited by what you hear? If there is something I'm trying to bring, is to really just nurture that communication between the stage and the audience.
Natalie Pires.
You know, I was young. I didn't understand the women that were all dressed in black with the black shawl and long brown hair like I have today. To me, I thought they were witches. Why are they singing so loudly? And they're always crying and... When I was 13, I was invited to sing, and it was just a very intimate experience. And I decided, that's it. I just want to sing Fado.
Colin Hay of Men at Work.
Traveling in a fried out combi on a hippie trail head full of zombies.
It's a pretty good job where you go to different towns and play music and people applaud you after you finish playing a song. I'm an entertainer, you know. I like to entertain people and make them feel better.
Women glow and men plunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You better run, you better take cover.
The Indigo Girls.
Playing with Emily, it's kind of always great because we always have our friends come out on the road with us, and we're on the same page.
I love working with Amy. It's just always going to be at the center of all my music, and so I this is personal and probably dorky, but I knock on her dressing room and I'm like, I just want to tell you I love you and I really love playing with you, because it's like, you know, Amy's like the old friend, and like the solo project is a new friend and kind of exciting because I'm just getting to know it. And
yeah.
But Amy's like, she's the best.
We share a past, we share a blood relation, and that's as good as an invitation. The next segment of our Monday music special kicks off with Richard Thompson.
I see young girls with old faces.
Being a singer-songwriter is kind of unique in that you keep revisiting your own career on a nightly basis. Performing a song maybe you write when you're 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So a song you write when you're 18 has to have some virtue beyond its naivety. Something that can keep you singing it. So there has to be some new way that you think about it.
I said, hey, 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 hey.
thread of my needle, and then I'm gonna sew my soul back together again.
Angela Ahn.
MTV had contacted Juilliard asking for a string orchestra for a Bryan Adams MTV Unplugged episode. There was one song Bryan said, you should improvise the solo. And I said, I don't know how to improvise. One of the band guys said, I'll write something. And there's a star in one line. There's a flower in the second bar, a moon in the third. So that was his idea of writing the music.
Kelly Jo Phelps.
I think a lot of people share this. You know, there's something about driving long distances that is very oddly zen-like sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes I get in this place in my head where doing a long road journey like that is perfect, and I don't listen to music or anything, you know, and there's no one I'm talking to because I'm alone. So, and you know, I'll drive for 10 or 12 hours a day, you know? So it's really great because it's some weird form of meditation or something. Mm-hmm. You know? It's kind of a dangerous way to meditate, but
break a fire with a paper match.
Mishkin.
The idea of the tune got planted in me as I was touring in Kansas, and a friend told me about how they burn the fields there in the spring to burn off the rubble from the last harvest, and he was just talking about what it looked like to have this fire kind of racing up the hillsides, and so I was kind of playing around with that image for a long time and trying to figure out what it was saying to me. And then I've spent the last 10 years just like working and working and touring and touring, and it was at a point where I was kind of questioning what's the outcome of all that, you know, what am I going to find down this road, you know, is there anything to find down this road?
Los Lonely Boys.
The most recent album is called Rockpango. Steve had to help me out there. Well, I should mention to listeners that Steve Gonzalez, also from Montana Public Radio, is here to help us out with the interview. And let's maybe start with...
What do you mean, help us out? Oh, you didn't think we spoke English?
No.
Do you think we only speak Spanish? I notice he speaks Spanish over there, and I see some tacos and tortilla chips and quesadillas, and I'm just kidding.
No, I happen to know that Steve plays a lot of your music on his show, Muse's Jukebox, which
and
he
you
co-hosts.
Don't? Are you
no,
saying I, you
no,
don't?
No, it's not. That's
watch
not
what
true.
You say, sir.
Thanks, Steve, man. We appreciate it.
So let's talk about the new album just briefly, and maybe talk about...
Why, because you don't like the new album?
No, I love the new album. It's got great material. Bruce Cockburn.
Sure,
I would define myself as comfortable in my own skin exactly, although I would certainly like to be. But I kind of grew up the opposite. I have always had a kind of somewhat adversarial relationship with my body. But in terms of who I am and, you know, how that relates to the songs that I create, I guess in a way that you could maybe describe me that way, but that's a condition that developed over time. And initially it was, you know, I mean, I just started writing songs thinking I could do this.
Our final segment of our Monday Music Special begins with James McMurtry. I want to encourage folks to sign up for your Facebook page because you always have some good photos.
It seemed like the iPhone 3 had a better camera. It definitely had a better notes app. I wrote this whole record on an iPhone 3.
On an iPhone? Wait, let's go back to this. You wrote the whole record on an iPhone 3.
Pretty much, yeah, because it had that notes app that looked like a legal pad with
I like that.
Right font. See, the way I write songs, I get a couple of lines and a melody, and then I think, okay, who said that? And I try to envision the character that would have said that, and then from the character I can come up with a story. And I can put that into a verse-chorus structure.
Patty Larkin.
They told me this was crazy. They told me expect the worst.
Years ago when I had a band in Boston, it was a little kind of Brazilian vibey thing. But my dad said, well, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And, you know, what do you want is actually what he said. And I said, I want respect. Why I didn't say $10 million, you know, I'll never know. But that's always been the writer I've been and the focus I've had.
Just like free fall and it ends up, we knock on wood. I'm falling for it. Hallelujah, it's a long way down. Hallelujah, baby, I'm falling for you. I see you round in the downtown.
Eric Funk.
When I do compose, the first process is me getting away from everybody, which is really easy in Montana. If somebody calls and asks my wife, you know, is Eric there? She'll say, well, he's off composing. Well, can you interrupt him? Well, he's not here. He's in the forest. So he's composing in the forest. I'm sure they think there's like a piano in the forest and there's this celestial streams of light coming from the sky.
Exactly. Darling Side.
In the tracks where we lived our simple lives, kept our blinders on.
I would be remiss without asking you about the shack raft.
Our landlord had a floating wooden raft that had a cabin built on it. You could take either swim out to the raft or take a little kayak and go out on the river, hang out, write music, and fall asleep to the sound of water, and ride the kayak back in whenever you woke up.
Then return to who we were before we disappear to the thick of big ideas.
Le vent du nord.
De pareil on n'en voit pas.
De pareil on n'en voit guère. De pareil on n'en voit pas.
À peine était
We can sing love, we can sing funny things, lying songs.
I have to ask, lying songs?
Yes. Yeah. It can be like, I went at the wedding on the back of a rabbit. On the way, I crossed a fox who was chatting with a bumblebee. It's a unique thing, you know.
On l'a mis dans un collège pour apprendre le latin.
On l'a mis dans un collège pour apprendre le latin.
Il faisait le sacrilège, il fumait du libertin.
Il faisait le sacrilège, il fumait du libertin.
Vince Bell.
I got stitches all over my body. My feet.
I got run over in Christmas week of 1982 in Austin, Texas, and laid down in the feeder road to the freeway there, Interstate 35. Oh, it was a mess. I pulled the dying routine on that particular evening for him, and then spent the next decade relearning how to walk, talk, and play the guitar again. Frankenstein was a piece written by Gary Burgess. He put the piece together extremely well. I decided it needed horrible alteration, and so I rearranged the Son of a Gun and started playing it, and people started dropping their drawers when I showed up with it. They just ogled and oohed and thought it was weird. It made them uncomfortable, and so I enjoyed playing it for a crowd of people that these days needs a little shaking up every once in a while. After I heard that song, thought I knew the monster in the old black and white movie a whole lot better, and he looked a lot like me.
I don't know what I've done. I told him, Victor, you got to build me a wall.
Chris Hillman of the Byrds.
To everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn, turn. And it time.
Well, a week later, I get the phone call, can you play the bass? And I said, yeah, I'd never touched it. And Crosby was going to be the bass player, but he would rather play guitar. I got in there and I realized they didn't know what they were doing either. And we all plugged in our amps and went for it. Well, I do turn, turn, turn. I've done it 1,000 times. Each night is opening night. And that was an old Broadway axiom, you know. So each night is opening night. And, you know, there's nothing like it. When you're really in the moment, you're 10 feet off the ground.
Turn, turn, turn. Hand it time to every purpose under heaven.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to the Monday Music Special featuring a 25th anniversary celebration of Musicians Spotlight. We've been highlighting some of our favorite artists and interviews going back over 650 shows to the first airing in 1992. As the current host and producer of the program, I want to again give props to the program's original host, Michael Marsalek, and my former co-host for many years, Brian Copper. Also, a big thank you to Beth Ann Austin for all her help with engineering for the interviews. Each program has been a uniquely personal visit with the musicians, talking shop about their own journeys with music. Each artist or group has an interesting story, whether they're a legendary Grammy Award-winning household name, a band touring the Northwest, or one of our own Montana neighbors who just happened to be a great jazz musician, singer-songwriter, or orchestra conductor. Thanks to all of our guests over the years, all of the folks who helped the interviews and recordings happen, and of course all of you who've been listening and supporting the program for 25 years. Let's check in again, say in another 5 years. What do you think? This Monday Music Special has been a production of Montana Public Radio.